you to help this morning, so, okay, it's all on Eric. A few weeks ago, we spoke about how Abraham proved his love for God in his willingness to offer Isaac. In the past, we have spoken about commitment. And now, in that discussion, we spoke about the slave telling his master that he loved him and he would not leave him. And that was an example of how we should love our master, Jesus. And it begs the question, what is our level of love for God this morning? What is our level of love for God this morning? A person may say, I love God, but how much does he or she really love him? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38 states, Jesus said that, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. We are familiar with the saying, to know someone is to love him or her. This is certainly true with God. Because if you really know him, how could you not love him? Maybe if we knew the Lord better, we would love him more. In the Bible, we have a record of people who had a genuine, deep love for God. This morning, I would like to discuss some of those examples. You can see how much David loved the Lord and how we spoke of him. I'm going to turn to Psalm 8 and read verses 1, 3, and 4. Psalm 8 and verses 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens? Jump to verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Some of you remember, there was when we had the Apollo space program in action in the late 1960s, one of the astronauts, I don't know if it was Michael Collins, as he was orbiting the moon, or could have even Buzz Aldrin from right here in Montclair, read these verses. He was told to read, so it was Christmas time, and he was told to read something about Christmas from outer space. And he read this, and he said, I couldn't help it. He said, when you're out here, you have to acknowledge God. And he read, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? In these verses, David realized that in all his majesty and greatness, with all the infinity of outer space, God was still mindful, very aware and considerate, very lovingly and extremely caring about man. Now, outer space is just infinite, and yet God cares. Now, God doesn't care for us as a whole. He cares for us individually. Each person individually he cares for. With these thoughts in mind, David meditated on the Lord with much love. You can hear his love for God in these verses. Check out Psalm 45, verses 1 and 2. My heart overflows with the good theme when he was thinking about the Lord. He said, my heart overflows with the good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. When David thought about the Lord, his heart would overflow. Are we like that? Would be wonderful if we were. Do our hearts overflow when we think about Jesus? As we sang this morning, when I think about the Lord, all he's done for us, you say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. This is how we should think and feel about Jesus. Our hearts should overflow with just the thought of him. If you could turn with me to Psalm 63, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Love this psalm. It's so beautiful. And David wrote this song in the Judean desert. When you look at the Judean desert, you wonder how, I mean, it's a desert. It's barren. There is grass growing there, but I mean, it looks kind of sparse, at least when I was there. And yet David wrote this psalm. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in the dry. See, he was in the Judean desert. In the dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, imagine that, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. That's why I encourage lifting up your hands when we worship. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. How much David loved God. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Wow, may it be that way. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. I like in verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think we were all remembering God last night. I don't know about you, but that thunderstorm was quite loud by me. And I was saying, God, you're really at it. And it was loud last night. And a lot of the rain, thank God. But, you know, David was thinking about God, even waking up during the night, how much he loved God. And to say, my soul clings to you. Wow, did he love God. We want to be the same way. David loved God and sought after him earnestly. His love for the Lord caused David to hunger and thirst for him. And this is where many Christians, I'm speaking of Christians in general, miss the mark. They don't have a hunger and thirst for the Lord. And I prayed to Jesus one time, Lord, why is it so many people don't have that hunger and thirst for you? And the answer came to me immediately. As soon as I said it, the cares of this world. Many people let the cares of this world choke out the time that should be given to God. But David loved the Lord so much as to cause him to hunger and thirst for him. Do we love the Lord to the point where we hunger and thirst for him? David was hungering to see God's attributes. Do we? He wanted to see God's power and his glory. And by saying that my whole being shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, David was saying that no one could satisfy like the Lord, and how true that is. David loved the Lord so much, as we said, he would think of him during the night. He said that my whole being follows hard after you. David was a God chaser. We want to be God chasers. He knew that there was no one like God in life because he said that my soul clings to you. I can't emphasize that enough this morning. My soul clings to you. And you know, if our soul would cling to Jesus, a lot of the stuff that bothers me or that bothers you would not be bothering you so much. because your attention would be on Jesus. And you leave it all to Him. And when your attention is on Jesus, like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I mean, if we set our attention on Jesus, how much that is bothering us wouldn't bother us. That would be a nice place to be at. He said, my soul clings to you. We hope and pray that our souls really cling to Jesus. Of course, there's no smarter thing to do in life than that our soul will cling to Jesus. Who better to cling to? We sing the song, there is none like you. Another understatement. There is none like you. No one else could touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long. How long is eternity? Forever, right? Never ends. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. The Lord Himself testifies about David, saying that he was a man after my own heart. Can the Lord say this about me or any one of us? Why don't we be someone that God could look down and say, so-and-so is a woman, a man, after my heart. And God would have this big smile on his face. David's love for the Lord can be seen as evident in Psalm 103, which I'm going to turn to. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Watch how you hear about David's love for the Lord over here in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, in these verses, it says, bless the Lord, bless His holy name. Bless means to adore on bent knee. And David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. You read the end of this chapter, just bless the Lord all over it. The end of this chapter. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength who perform His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts who serve Him doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David really loved God. Bless the Lord all over the place. And you know Psalm 104 starts? Bless the Lord. He was always blessing the Lord. We want to be at that point. We love the Lord so much. We say, bless the Lord, and we bless Him. We adore Him, even on bent knee. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live. David was saying, I love you, Lord, because you listen to me and you hear my earnest prayers. Psalm 150, I'm going to read that to you. Psalm, you don't have to turn to it if you don't want, I'll read it to you. Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, praise Him for His acts of power, praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Lyre was an old-fashioned form of a guitar. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the string and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. praise ye the Lord. You could see David's love for God throughout this psalm. Does that sound quiet to you? Over here when you're reading about how David was saying, was praise the Lord. That's why I said worship does not have to be quiet. Sometimes it is, depending on the song you sing. But sometimes you got to worship God and really let him know how you feel about him. It was not quiet. It says praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Trumpet's not a quiet instrument. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praising with the resounding cymbals. That doesn't sound quiet to me. David's love for God can be felt throughout this psalm. How about Mary of Bethany in the New Testament? I'm going to read to you, if you want to turn to it, John chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8. We're going to read about Mary of Bethany now. Another example of someone who loved the Lord greatly. Water is so good when you're thirsty. Imagine the living water that God wants to give us. John chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer, he robbed, what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial," which was about a week later. "For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." You know, verse 2, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, possibly in recognition of Jesus restoring Lazarus to life. How appropriate and loving that this family wanted to honor Jesus. And we know that from previous messages that spikenard was very expensive and considered a luxury in ancient Egypt, the Near East, and Rome. It was used only when a wealthy person received a special gift, a special guest into his or her house. Jesus was Mary's special guest. See, you read that and say, "Boy, I wish I could anoint Jesus the way Mary did." But Jesus isn't here in the flesh anymore. Anoint him with praise and worship. Anoint him with love. Yes, you can anoint Jesus. In her heart, Mary must have thought, "Jesus, I have something for you." She must have felt such a love and for him in her heart when she did this, like she couldn't wait to do it. "Jesus, I have something for you. I love you. You mean so much to me. You've done so much for me in leaving your throne and coming to earth to suffer for humanity, including me. No one ever spoke the way you do." She must have been thinking this. "No one ever did what you do. I never met anyone like you. They don't come like you, Jesus." Do we think this way about Jesus? And you know what? You could tell him. Get on your knees and tell him that. Do we tell Jesus what we think of him and how much he means to us? He would be so happy to hear it. Big smile on his face if you did that. Mary saved her money so that she could afford the special ointment for Jesus. Verse 3 states that she bought pure nard. It was very costly. We know that she bought only the best for Jesus. That's why it was pure nard. Mary was driven by love for her Lord. She bought him the best because of how much she loved him, how much she loved Jesus, and because he was a priority in her life. How much do we love Jesus? Is he a priority in our lives? Are we giving our best to him? The pouring of the ointment on Jesus represented Mary pouring out her love for Jesus. When was the last time we got on our knees and poured out our love for Jesus? He has done so much for us. He means so much to us. Where would we be without him? When was the last time we got on our knees and poured out our love for Jesus? How about spending time with Jesus? As we said earlier, we have a saying that to know someone is to love him or her. I want to read to you Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. You can turn to it if you want. If not, I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is the same Mary. Now, as they were traveling along, this is Jesus and his disciples, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, this was Mary of Bethany, the same Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted. There goes those distractions again. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to come and help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," calling her attention, called her name twice, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus had and has so much to offer. Mary, knowing this, stopped what she was doing, because she was helping Martha. Mary was not a slouch. She was helping Martha, but then she stopped when Jesus came. She stopped what she was doing and made time for Jesus. Mary really knew Jesus and really loved him. She had the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God, who came to earth as the Son of Man, who would eventually die for her eternal salvation. She knew that this was the person sitting in her living room and speaking to her. I can't imagine the love that she had for him. She knew this was Son of God, Son of Man, sitting in her living room, talking to her and teaching her. What an awesome feeling that must have been. If we had the communion with Jesus that Mary had, we would love him greatly. We can have the communion with Jesus that Mary had. It's up to us. We could have that same communion in spirit. How much time do we want to spend with Jesus? Are we making it a priority to spend time with Jesus? We could have the same communion that Mary had. We sing to him, "Tell me the story of Jesus," right? And in this song, the first line is, "Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word." Is the story of Jesus engraved on our hearts? Should be. How long have I, or I say have you, spent time in church? Is the story of Jesus engraved on our hearts? It should be. We pray that the Holy Spirit would engrave the story of Jesus on our hearts. Do we love Jesus enough to tell him, "Come to my house and speak to me as you spoke to Mary"? Invite the Lord Jesus to your house. He'll come. Come to my house and live with me. Remember, you want a habitation of Jesus, not a visitation. You want a habitation of Jesus. Visitation means someone's going to leave. You want a habitation of Jesus, that he never leaves. How much do we love Jesus? Do we love the Lord for our salvation? That is mind-boggling, considering what Jesus suffered and what he saved us from, eternal hell, and where we are going, eternal heaven. Do we love the Lord for his forgiveness? Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That should be enough to make us really love Jesus. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What about his healing touch? Talk about loving the Lord. How many times has Jesus healed us, not only in the body, but also in the soul and spirit? Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 informs us that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Consider his loving kindness, as we read in Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. There goes that lifting up hands again. Do we love the Lord for his mercy? Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. What about his protection, both materially and spiritually? Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. How many times has the Lord protected us from an accident? We call it a near miss. It was God protecting us from an accident. Think about the answered prayers. Psalm 34, verses 17 to 19. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. How much do we love him, considering his love for us? John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How about the third verse of the love of God? Could we with ink the ocean fill? The earth is at least 3/4 water. Could we with ink the ocean fill and word the skies of parchment made? Where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. And here it goes. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. As we said, the earth is 3/4 water. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God. Wow. How much we should love him. We sang the song this morning, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." This morning we want to ask the Holy Spirit for a greater revelation and understanding of the Lord. It would be good to truly meditate on who Jesus is and how much he means to us. If we would only meditate that, where would we be without him? We want to pour all our love on him. Can you love someone whose love for you is infinite? Can you love a God who died for you? Can you love someone who loves you so much that he wants to live with you forever? Can you love someone who is indescribable, undefined, more than wonderful, as we sang this morning, more than amazing, magnificent, who is love, who is the best thing that ever happened to us? And we'll end over there, and we'll get down to pray, then we'll sing the last hymn. So we're going to get down to pray now. And so we can conclude the message.